Everybody, today's our first day of recording. Thank God. Okay. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray, O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us in the same Spirit to be truly wise and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Prevenient Act, Rounds to Begin the Day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day, and setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act. I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother. I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day as an act of love and the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God for the love of the creature, I take this love and the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court. And for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone and has loved everyone and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath. And as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the eternal Word made man and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O Sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The Command Prayer. Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you, by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, grace of never going astray, No, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor, unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts that you purchase for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing, and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, Heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiats of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity and embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you perform, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and in each drop of blood that unleashed light for the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of your interior acts of sorrow you suffered up until your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, within my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my mother, Mary and Louisa. I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embraced joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all in you, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, place myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light, and I beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart, and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me, and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it I shall always be happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as the creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the divine fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the divine will. You will be my guide, my most tender mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me, to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hand. You will keep my heart jealously, and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louise's beatification. O most holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen.
Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, in every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God, to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the most holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in the same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead, to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
Okay, we'll now begin reading from the Book of Heaven. I have March 15th, 1925. Is that correct? Can I get a confirmation on that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. March 15th, 1925. How the divine will has the power to form the life of our Lord in the creature. I was fusing all of myself in the holy divine will. But while I was doing this, I felt all the bitternesses of the privation of my sweet Jesus, even though I am almost used to suffering the absence of him. However, every time I am without him, it is always a new pain. It seems to me that every time I remain deprived of the life of my life, Jesus puts a higher degree of pain, and I feel more vividly the pain of his absence. Oh, how true it is that in Jesus, both pains and joys are always new. Now, while I was abandoning myself in his will, my adorable Jesus, from within my interior, put a hand outside all filled with light. But in his hand, he had also mine, so identified with his that one could barely see that instead of one, there were two hands transformed together. And Jesus, compassionating my extreme littleness, told me, "My daughter, the light of my will is transformed together with your will and transforms one single life. The light becomes life, and the heat which the light contains empties and consumes all that may prevent the identification with my life and the forming of one single life. Why do you afflict yourself so much? Don't you feel this life of mine within you? And not fantastic, but real. How many times do you not feel in you my life operating? Other times suffering, and other times I feel you so much with me that you are forced to lose your motion, your breath, your mental faculties, and your very nature loses its life to give place to mine. And then, so that you may live again, I am forced to restrict myself within you, to let you acquire the natural motion and the use of your senses. But I remain always inside of you. And don't you notice that every time you see me, it is from within your interior that you see me come out? So why do you fear that I may leave you, if you do feel this life of mine within you? And I, oh my Jesus, it is true that I feel in me another life, which operates, suffers, moves, breathes, lays itself within me, but so much so that I myself am unable to say what happens to me. Many times I believe I am about to die, but as that life which I feel within me becomes smaller, withdrawing from my arms, from my head, I begin to live again, but as many times I do not see you. I feel you, but I do not see your adorable presence, and I fear, I am almost afraid of that life which I feel within me, thinking, who can be the one who has so much dominion within me that I feel a rag under his power? Could he not be also an enemy of mine? And if I want to oppose what he wants to do in me, he becomes so strong and imposing as to leave me not one act of my will. So soon I surrender, letting him win over me. And Jesus, my daughter, my will alone has this power of forming its life in the creature. It is clear that the soul has given me, who knows how many times, sure evidence that she wants to live of my will, not of her own. Because each act of human will, which is not in me, prevents the forming of my life. This is the greatest prodigy that my will can work, my life in the creature. Its light prepares me the place. Its heat purifies and consumes all that might be unsuitable for my life and provides me with the necessary elements in order to develop my life. Therefore, let me do that I may accomplish all that my will has established upon you.
April 9th, 1925. Jesus binds the soul with the thread of his will. Beauty of one who does it. State of the world. How the acts done in the divine will become a cloud of light. After many days of bitterness and of privation, my sweet Jesus carried me outside of myself, and taking me in his arms, he placed me on his knees. Oh, how happy I felt on the lap of Jesus after so many privations and bitternesses. However, I felt shy without a desire for anything or to say anything, and without my usual familiarity of the past, which I used to have with Jesus when he was with me. In the meantime, Jesus was doing so many things to me. He squeezed me so tightly to himself as to make me suffer. He placed his hand on my mouth, almost preventing me from breathing. He kissed me, and I nothing. I gave him nothing in return. I didn't feel like doing anything. His privation had paralyzed me and made me lifeless. I just let him do without opposing anything. Even if he had made me die, I would not have said a word. Then, wanting me to say something, Jesus told me, "My little daughter, tell me this at least. Do you want your Jesus to bind you all over?" And I, "Do as you wish." And he, taking a thread in his hand, passed it around my head, before my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my neck, in sum, my whole person, down to my feet. Then, looking at me with penetrating eyes, he added, "How beautiful is my little daughter, all bound by me. Now, yes, I will love you more, because the thread of my will has left you nothing to do without becoming life of all of yourself. Now this has made you so gracious as to render you all striking and beautiful to my eyes. My will has this virtue and power to give to the soul a beauty so rare, so precious, that no one else will be able to equal her beauty. And it is so great and so charming as to draw my eyes and the eyes of all to admire her and to love her." After he said this, I found myself inside myself, comforted and strengthened. Yes, but highly embittered, thinking who knows when he would come back, and that I had told him not even a word about my hard state. So I started to fuse myself in his most holy will. And my adorable Jesus came out from within my interior, forming a cloud of light around me. Jesus leaned his arms on this cloud and looked at the whole world, at all creatures. Oh, how many offenses from all classes of people came before his most pure gaze and wounded my sweet Jesus. How many plots, how many deceptions and pretenses, how many machinations of revolutions ready for unexpected incidents. And all this drew the chastisements of God, and entire cities were destroyed. My sweet Jesus, leaning on that cloud of light, shook his head and remained embittered, down to the intimate place of his heart, and turning to me, told me, "My daughter, look at the state of the world. It is so grave that I can look at it only through this cloud. If I wanted to look at it outside of this cloud, I would destroy a great part of it. But do you know what this cloud of light is? It is my will operating in you and your acts done in it. The more acts you do in it, the larger this cloud of light becomes, serving as my support and to let me look with that love with which my will created man. It forms an enchantment to my loving eyes and making present to me all that I did for love of him, makes a merciful will arise within my heart, and I end up feeling compassion for the one whom I love so much. To you, then, this cloud of light serves in a marvelous way. It serves as light for all of your being. It places itself around you, and it renders the earth alien to you. It allows no taste, even innocent, for people or other things to enter into you. and forming a sweet enchantment also to your eyes. It allows you to look at things according to the truth and in the same way as your Jesus looks at them. If it sees you weak, this cloud besieges you and gives you its fortitude. If it sees you inactive, it enters into you and becomes operative. Even more, it is jealous to the highest degree with its light, acting like a sentry, so that you may do nothing without it, and it may do nothing without you. Therefore, my daughter, why do you afflict yourself so much? Let my will work in you, and let it concede not one act of life to your will, which is not in me, if you want my great designs to be fulfilled within you.
April 23rd, 1925. Every act a soul does in the will of God is a kiss that she gives and receives from all heaven and is the continuous breath of God upon her. I was fusing myself in the holy divine will according to my usual way, and my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, come into the immensity of my will. All heaven and all things created by me, which live and receive continuous life from my will, in which they find their complete glory, their full happiness, and their perfect beauty, anxiously await the kiss of the pilgrim soul who lives in the same will in which they live, to give her their kiss in return, and to place in common with her the glory, the happiness, the beauty which they possess, so that their number may be increased by another creature who would render me complete glory for as much as it is possible to a creature, and who would make me look at the earth with the love with which I created it, since on earth there is a creature who operates and lives in my will. Since heaven knows that nothing glorifies me as much as a soul who lives in my will, they too long for my will to live in the souls upon earth. Therefore, every act the creature does in my will is a kiss that she gives and receives from the one who created her and from all the blessed. But do you know what this kiss is? It is the transformation of the soul with her creator. It is the possession of God within the soul and of the soul in God. It is the growth of the divine life in the soul. It is the accord of the whole of heaven, and it is the right of the supremacy over all created things. The soul purged by my will through the omnipotent breath which we, her God, infused in her, no longer produces the nausea of the human will. And so God continues to breathe upon her with his omnipotent breath, so that she may grow with that will with which he created her. On the other hand, the soul who has not yet been purged feels the attraction of her own will, and so she acts against the will of God, doing her own. God cannot approach her to breathe on her again, feeling repugnance, until the soul gives all of herself to the exercise and the fulfillment of the divine will. Therefore, you must know that in creating man, God infused life in him with his breath, and in this life he infused in him an intelligence, a memory, and a will, to place them in relation with his divine will. This divine will was to be like a king. It was to dominate all the interior of the creature and to give life to all in such a way as to form the intelligence and the memory wanted by the supreme will in her. Once this was formed, it was as though natural for the eye of the creature to look at the created things and to know their order and the will of God over the whole universe. The hearing was to hear the prodigies of this eternal will. The mouth, which was to feel the continuous breath of its creator, communicating to it the life and the goods contained in his will, was to echo that eternal fiat with its word, to narrate what will of God means. The hands were to be the expression of the works of this supreme will. The feet were to do nothing but follow, step by step, the steps of their creator. So once the divine will is established in the will of the creature, she has the eyes, the hearing, the mouth, the hands, the feet of my will. She never departs from the origin from which she came. So she remains always in my arms, and it is easy for her to feel my breath and for me to breathe upon her. Now this is exactly what I want from the creature, that she let my will reign in hers, and that her will serve as the dwelling of my will, so that the divine will may place in her the celestial goods it contains. This is what I want from you, so that all your acts sealed by my will may form one single act, and uniting to the single act of my will, which has no multiplicity or mutation of acts, as it happens in man, your acts may remain in that eternal origin in order to copy your creator within you and to give him the glory and the contentment that his will be done in you as it is in heaven.
April 26, 1925. Doubts of the soul about the writings. Jesus gives her peace. I was thinking to myself about certain things regarding the will of God, which good Jesus had told me, and which have been published, and therefore go around in the hands of those who want to read them. I felt so ashamed within me that this caused me an indescribable pain, and I said, "My beloved good, how could you allow this? Our secrets, which I wrote out of obedience and only for love of you, are now before the eyes of others. And if they continue to publish more things, I will die of shame and pain and of pain. And after all this, as recompense for my hard sacrifice, you have left me so painfully. Had you been with me, you would have had pity on my pain, and you would have given me the strength to bear so much shame and pain. But while I was saying this, my sweet Jesus came out from within my interior, and placing one hand on my forehead and the other on my mouth, as though wanting to stop the many afflicting thoughts that came to me, told me, "Be quiet, be quiet. Do not want to continue any further. These are not your things, but mine. It is my will that wants to follow. It is coarse to make itself known, and my will is more than sun. It takes too much to hide the light of the sun. Even more, it is completely impossible. And if they stop, it is from one side. It surpasses the obstacle which they had placed in front of it, and escaping from the other sides, it follows its way with majesty, leaving those who wanted to prevent its course confused, because they have seen its escape from all sides without being able to catch it. A lamp can be hidden, but the sun never. Such is my will, more than sun, and if you want to hide it, it will be impossible for you. Therefore, be quiet, my daughter, and let the eternal sun of my will follow its course, both through the writings and through publications, through your words and through your manners. Let it surpass every obstacle, escape all impediments, and as refulgent light, cover the whole world. I long for it. I want it. But then, how much of the truth of my will was really put out? One could say it was just the atoms of its light. And although just atoms, if you knew the good they do, what will happen when, after all the truth which I revealed about my will be gathered, the fecundity of its light, the goods it contains, the infinite extension of the merits it multiplies, and all the rest, everything will be reunited as a whole and will form not just the atoms of a rising sun, but its full day. What will happen? What good will the eternal sun not produce in the midst of creatures? And you and I will be, oh, how happy in seeing my will known, loved, and done. Therefore, let me do. Furthermore, no, it is not true that I have left you. How is it? Don't you feel me within yourself? Don't you hear the echo of my prayer in your interior as I embrace everything and everyone in such a way that no one can escape me? Since all the things in all generations are like one single point for me, and so I pray, I love, I adore my Father, I repair for all. And you, echoing my prayer, feel as if you were holding everyone and everything in your power, and you repeat what I do. Is it perhaps you or your capacity to do this? No, it is I, whom am within you. It is my will that makes you take everyone and everything in your power, and that follows its course within your soul. And then, do you want anything apart from my will? What do you fear, that I may leave you? Don't you know that the surest sign that I reside within you is that my will has taken its place of honor in you, that it dominates you, and that it does with you whatever it wants? My will and I are inseparable, and it renders inseparable from me whoever lets himself be dominated by it.
May 1st, 1925, the mission of living in the divine will, the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mission of Mary Most Holy, and the mission of Louisa. I was thinking about the many things that my beloved Jesus told me on his most holy will, and some doubts came back to me that, who knows, it might really not be necessary to say everything, or that some things were not necessary. But Jesus, wanting to lovingly resolve my doubts and make me know the mission he entrusts to the one who is to make his divine will known, having chosen for this the misery that I am, to my great stupefaction and confusion, continuing his holy instructions on this manner, told me, my daughter, every mission is to be connected to the office of executing it, and therefore it must be carried out, omitting nothing of that which belongs to it. In fact, every mission which is destined for the good of others has its own particular gifts, graces, riches, and qualities, which are useful for its execution. My humanity received from my divinity the mission of the salvation of souls and the office of Redeemer, that is, to redeem them from the slavery of sin and from eternal death. In order to carry out this office, I was given their souls, their pains, their satisfaction. Therefore, I enclosed within myself everything from everyone. And if my humanity had neglected to enclose in itself just one soul, one satisfaction, the office of Redeemer would not have been complete. I would not have enclosed in myself all the graces, the good, and the light which is necessary to give to each soul. And even though not all souls are saved, this says nothing. My part, I had to enclose the goods of all, so that I might have necessary and superabundant graces for all, in order to be able to save all. This was convenient to me for the decorum and the just honor of my office as Redeemer. Look at the sun above your horizon. It contains so much light as to be able to give light to all, and even though not all might want to enjoy its light, by its unique office as sun, it possesses even the light that creatures might refuse. This was convenient to the sun because it was created by God as the unique sphere which was to warm and embrace the earth with its light. Each created being has its own office to carry out, and that office is unique, linked to that being, to that creature. In order to execute it well, it is necessary that the one who is to carry out the office entrusted to her contains so much of that good which she must give to others according to the mission for which she was created. That as much of it as she gives is never exhausted, not even by one atom. This was even more convenient to me, who was to be the new son of the soul, and who was to give light to all and embrace all with my light, to bring them all to the supreme majesty, offering to this divine majesty an act from myself which would contain all acts, and to make the superabundant light of my divinity descend upon all in order to rescue them. In addition to me, there is my celestial mama, who received the unique mission as the mother of a God son and the office of co-redemptrix of mankind. For her mission of divine maternity, she was enriched with so much grace that all other creatures combined, both celestial and terrestrial, would never be able to equal her. But this was not enough to draw the word into her maternal womb. It was necessary that the mother put in action all this abyss of graces and gifts by embracing all creatures, loving them, repairing and adoring the Supreme Majesty for all, in such a way as to accomplish herself all that the human generations owed to God. Therefore, in her virginal heart, she had an inexhaustible vein for God and for all creatures. When the divinity found in this virgin compensation for the love of all, it felt enraptured and formed in her its conception, that is, the incarnation of the Word. And as she conceived me, she took on the office of co-redemptress and shared and embraced together with me all the pains, the substitutions and reparations, the maternal love for all. In the heart of my mother, there was a fiber of maternal love for each creature. This is why, in truth and with justice, when I was on the cross, I declared her mother of all. She ran together with me in the love, in the suffering, and everything. She never left me alone. If the Eternal One had not placed so much grace in her to be able to receive alone the love of all, it would never have removed from heaven to come down upon earth and redeem mankind. Here is the necessity, the convenience, that she had to embrace and surpass everything as befitting the mission of the Mother of the Word. When an office is unique, as a consequence, nothing must escape the one who has it as mission. He must have everything under his eyes, so as to be able to offer the good he possesses. He must be like a true son and can give light to all. So were I and my celestial mama. Now, your mission of making known the eternal will is braided with mine and with that of my dear mother. And since it has to serve for the good of all, it was necessary to centralize the eternal son of my will into one creature, so that, as a unique mission, the sun might let its rays blaze from her, and all might take the good of its light. This implies that, for the decorum and the honor of my will, I had to pour into you, as bearers and preparations, such graces, light, love, and knowledge of it as to befit the resident of the son of my will. Even more, you must know that, just as my humanity, in its office of Redeemer, conceived all souls, The same must to happen in you, in your mission and office to make my will known and reign. As you continue to do your acts in my will for all creatures remain conceived in your will. And as you keep repeating your acts in mine, you form many sips of life of divine will in order to be able to nourish all the creatures which are as though conceived in yours by virtue of my will. Do you not feel how in my will you embrace all, from the first to the last creature which is to exist upon earth, and for all you would want to satisfy, love, please the supreme will, binding it to all, removing all obstacles that prevent its dominion and the creatures, making known to all. And even with sufferings, you expose yourself to sanctify for all this supreme will, which so much loves to be known and to reign in the midst of creatures. To you, firstborn daughter of the divine will, it is given to make known the qualities, the value, the good it contains, and its eternal sorrow of living unknown, hidden in the midst of human generations. Excuse me. Even more, despised and offended by the evil ones, and placed by the good ones at the level of the other virtues, as if it were a little light which is lit by men, as virtues are in comparison with my will, and not the eternal sun that my will is. The mission of my will is the greatest that can exist. There is no good which does not descend from it. There is no glory which does not come from it. Everything is centered in it, our interior works and those which we have delivered, the creation of the angels, of the world, men, all virtues, all merits, all predestinations, all goods, all the glory of the chosen ones, all the mysteries of the infinite love, which are still unknown to man, and the past, the present, the future, all in one act, and in all one single point. Therefore, be attentive, and do not want to waste time with doubts or uncertainties. Everything I told you for this mission was necessary, not for you, but for the honor, the glory, the knowledge, and the sanctity of my will and of its dominion in the creatures. And since my will is one was to be the creature to whom I had to entrust it, and through whom it would make its rays blaze to do good to all.
One sentence there that really hit me, where Jesus says, therefore be attentive, and do not want to waste time with doubts or uncertainties. That really hit me because I find myself sometimes saying, well, Louisa was holy, I'm not, I'll never get this. Or my acts aren't worth the divine will, or whatever the doubts that I have as a human being, an unholy human being. And that really spoke to me. Jesus is saying, don't waste time with doubts or uncertainties. Listen to what I'm saying and do it, period. Amen.
May 4th, 1925. Continuation of the previous chapter. The mission of the divine will reproduces on earth the image of the Most Holy Trinity. After writing what is written above, I began to do the adoration to my crucified Jesus, fusing all of myself in his most holy will, and my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior, and placing his most holy will close to mine, all tenderness, told me, my daughter, did you write everything on the mission of my will? And I, yes, yes, I wrote everything. And he again, what if I told you that you did not write everything? Rather, you have left out the most essential thing. So continue to write and add. The mission of my will conceal the Most Holy Trinity upon earth. Just as in heaven, there are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, inseparable but distinct among themselves, who form all the beatitudes of heaven. In the same way, on earth, there will be three persons who, because of their missions, will be distinct and inseparable among themselves. The Virgin with her maternity, which conceals the paternity of the Celestial Father and encloses his power in order to fulfill her mission of Mother of the Eternal Word and co-redemptrix of mankind. My humanity for the mission of Redeemer, which was enclosed in the divinity of the Word without ever separating from the Father and from the Holy Spirit, in order to manifest my celestial wisdom.